with that. But as I began to think about that and began to pray about that and say, God, what does that mean? How does that apply to us? I'm familiar with those three individuals. Not that I ever met them, but I read about them, and so have many of you. But God, how does that apply to? How does that apply? And I began to feel God put a burden on my heart. Look at it like this. This is not going to be a long message, I don't think. But look at it like this. Abraham was the father of Isaac, and Isaac was the father of Jacob, right? I get to be a father too. Are you seeing where I'm headed? Or a parent. I see some that aren't fathers in the room, obviously, but this would still apply. We talked about grandparents a moment ago, and I even mentioned that's kind of crazy for my brain to think about having grandkids someday. Would be kind of exciting, but right now it's like, what? I don't know what my grandkids are going to be named. I don't know if they're going to be boys or if they're going to be girls. But I want my kids to know Jesus. Nate, Natalie, and Addie. I want them to know Jesus. That's the... It's the biggest thing I want. So that my kids serve Jesus and then teach my grandkids to live for Christ. The God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, are you following me this morning? So let me put it a different way. The God of Chad and the God of Nate, and we don't know who the next one is. I hope it's making sense. And I'm speaking, I know who I'm speaking to this morning. I'm speaking to many of you who your kids are grown and even grandkids are grown. But there's somebody that you can make a difference, someone's life that you can make a difference in. Because then in prayer, I felt like God was taking me beyond that and beyond my family. But then there's also others that we rub shoulders with on day to day. That we can impact because of the difference that he makes in our life, the light that he shines in us. We're supposed to be like the moon, you know. We're supposed to just simply reflect the light of the sun. S-O-N. We got to put ourselves in the position that we reflect. We can be in a position where we don't reflect. That makes sense? But if we put ourselves in a position on purpose, intentionally, so that we reflect that light, the light of Jesus from our life into somebody else's life, I think that's where it's all about. I think Jesus designed the church to be wonderful, glorious, to be this family thing, even though we're not all related. It's to love one another and care for each other's needs. And I think that we're good about that, at least most of the time. Sometimes attitudes get in the way, don't they? We're not a perfect church, but we serve a perfect master. And I want to take you to a couple other verses. This one's found in the Old Testament, but I want to take you to a couple of verses real quick. Acts chapter 16, and verse 34. I'm gonna kind of make sure that you know what's going on during this scenario, this situation. Paul and a few of his friends were in this town, in this city, and there was this woman who was following them, and she had an evil spirit. Unfortunately, that still happens today. And this woman followed Paul and his companions around for days and she was basically saying, hey, these guys are going to tell you how to be saved. But she was doing it in a way that it was almost discrediting them, and it was disrupting what they were trying to do. And Paul got so frustrated with it, a few days into it, he turns around and he says, I command you, evil spirit, to come out of her in Jesus' name. And it did. Because that's what happens. Because Jesus has all the power. He holds the keys, doesn't he? So now Paul has a problem. Shouldn't have been a problem because he just gave freedom to this young lady. But she was a servant, a slave. And her owners realized that, hey, that was a way for us to make money. And now you've taken it away from us. And they basically got the authorities after them. These guys are causing problems. And how is it a problem when they deliver somebody from an evil spirit? That's not a problem. That's a great thing, don't you think? So we got to look at how some things are viewed skewed. They're viewed from wrong angles, aren't they? Anyway, so Paul and Silas, his friend Silas, they are arrested, and they're put into the dungeon. They didn't want them getting away, and so they're down in this jail cell, this probably dark, musty, stinky jail cell. And the Bible says about midnight, these guys start praising God out loud. Do you want to know what to do when you don't know what to do? I would encourage you to praise God. But it's too late for that, or it's too early for that. It doesn't matter. It doesn't matter. What Paul and Silas did was they began to praise God out loud. They said that they were locked up, not just in a cell. They had stocks on them. They couldn't move around like they wanted to. They began to praise God. You know what happened? Some of you do. There was an earthquake, and every single jail cell was open. Every single handcuff or stock on their feet was removed, was loosened, and every one of them was able to leave. The problem was that the jailer, he says, that's who this verse is talking about, by the way. The jailer, he's getting ready. You see, under Roman rule, if his prisoners got away and escaped, they were going to kill him. So he was about to do himself in. And Paul says, whoa, nah, you don't need to do that. We're all right here. Why did God do that? I think for that jailer. I think for that jailer, because Paul, and matter of fact, the jailer goes to these guys, and of course he's about ready to take his own life. And he goes to Paul and Silas because he would have heard, had to have heard them singing and praising God. Oh, but we're supposed to be quiet. Do you? I think sometimes you do need to be quiet. I think other times you do need to be loud. And I suspect that Paul and Silas were not real quiet. I suspect that other prisoners were like, hey, will you guys keep it down over there? It's midnight. We're trying to sleep. But everybody was glad, don't you think? The jailer goes to Paul and Silas and says, what must I do to be saved? What must I do to serve this God that you sing about? Paul and Silas begin to tell him. Repent of your sin. Turn to God for forgiveness. He says, you and your whole household will be saved. Your whole house. Your whole household. And then in this verse, in verse 34, it says that the jailer, he brought them into his house. And he and his entire household, there it is again, he and his entire household rejoiced because they all believed in God. now, in the jailer's house, we've got the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob thing going on, don't we? It's at least started. Isn't that exciting? So who in our sphere of influence can we help get to know Jesus and introduce to Christ? It's pretty exciting. I love to think about someone being in heaven because of us. It blows my mind. Now listen, I'm not saying that we're the Savior. I'm not saying that we do any of the forgiving or healing or any of it. But what we do is we just simply shine. Remember, we're reflecting, okay, oh here's the best position, right? To simply allow the light of Jesus to reflect and bounce off of us so that others can see it. His entire household met Jesus that day. Isn't that awesome? All because Paul and Silas prayed. I want to take you to another Old Testament passage. Old Testament scripture. And then we're going to apply this. Then we're going to spend some time in the altar. Joshua, this is a well-known verse of Scripture. Joshua says to the people of Israel, some are wondering if they want to follow God. Joshua says in Joshua 24:15, he says, but if you refuse to serve the Lord, then choose today whom you will serve. Would you prefer the gods your ancestors served beyond the Euphrates? Or will it be the gods of the Amorites in whose land you now live? Are you going to serve the gods? Are you going to serve the things that your parents served? The other things? Or are you going to serve the gods of the land that you live in? We don't typically think of idols, having idols here in America, but we do. They're not little metal or wooden statues that we bow down to in a prominent place in our home. But there's many of them. What are you bowing to other than Jesus? Joshua said, hey, figure out who you're going to serve. It's time to make a decision. Isn't it time, church? Isn't it time for each one of us to make that decision? Listen, I can't make it for you, neither can anybody else. You can't get to heaven on anybody else's coattails. Or as the song goes, you can't get there on roller skates. Joshua said, you need to figure out who you're going to serve and serve them. Whether it be the gods of your ancestors or the gods of the Amorites, the land that you live now. He said, but look at this last part. He says, but as for me and my house, as for me and my family, Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, are you with me? But as for me and my house, as for me and my family, we will serve the Lord. I love that declaration that Joshua makes. He announces to the whole community, I'm serving God. Come with me or stay behind. It makes no difference. I'm going forward. And I think that's what we need to announce to our families. And I know some of you have in different situations that have occurred. If we cower to everything that our families tell us to do, and I'm talking about those of you who have grown kids or grandkids, and we just, okay, well, I'll do whatever you want, then we're not shining like we're supposed to. Joshua said, listen, y'all aren't the leader of me. I'm following Jesus. He's the leader of my life. I'm going to pursue him. I'm following after God. You can make up your own mind. And I encourage you to do so, basically, is what he said. Who are you serving? Who are you going to serve? The ball is in your court. You've got to make the decision. And I know some of you have made that decision. I know some of you made that a long, long time ago. Let God, let the Holy Spirit stir that up today in your spirit, in your heart, hearts. I'm going to ask you to bow your hearts. I'm going to give two opportunities. Thank you, Charlie. Yes. Worship team's coming. I'm going to give you two opportunities this morning. If you want to make Jesus the Lord of your life, you have not been following him, you've not been serving him, but today you want to make Jesus the Lord of your life, I want to give you that opportunity. You need him to forgive you and to cleanse you. I promise you he will do that. Because that's what he loves to do. And if that's you, I'm going to simply ask that you raise your hand. You've not been serving Christ, but today you're at a point where you're ready to do that. You're ready to surrender to him and follow him. Ready to choose Christ over everything else. Is there anyone? For the rest, this second invitation, if you will, is an invitation to say, God, help me to be that light to my family. God, help me touch my family. Maybe, God help me to reach someone in my community, neighbors, co-workers, friends. God help me to do that. Help me as you give me influence. Help me to introduce them to you. And on that note, as they lead in song, I'm going to Would you join me in the front as we pray and seek God to help us in these areas? That we lead our families well, that we point others to Christ. So that, like it was said of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, that God would be the God of your household as well. Will you join me in prayer?